All right, it's great to see you here this evening. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're studying lesson 2 this week. The chapter entitled, Is the Bible the Word of God? Is the Bible the Word of God? Don't know of a more important subject that we could discuss than the subject of God's Word. We're still early in this series, and I want to encourage you, if you're a teacher, you have your teacher's guide there. I want to encourage you to read the introductory material to that teacher's guide. There's a tremendous introduction about taking the right stand with the right spirit. I think you'll really enjoy reading that, and I think it'll be a real help to you. It takes a passage from God's Word, a story from the life of Christ and his disciples, and talks about taking the right stand, but also making sure we have the right spirit, a spirit of compassion. And you know, if you're around here, that Pastor says often that we want our as high as we run with our standards and our convictions, we want to run just as deep with our compassion. And that's so important, particularly if you're teaching the lessons in this particular series. We run just as deep with our compassions as we run high with our convictions. And certainly we want to have high convictions, so may God give us the right kind of compassion. We're dealing with an important subject this week. Is the Bible the Word of God? Is the Bible the Word of God? Let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice the phrase there. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we're going to answer this question, is the Bible the Word of God? We're going to look at the testimony of the Scriptures itself. We're going to look at the testimony of Jesus Christ, and we're going to consider the testimony of those who've put their faith in the Bible. I want you to listen to a couple things that you'll find in your reading material. Here are a few statements from some noteworthy men about the Scriptures. George Mueller said, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. General Robert E. Lee said, in all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. I like that. President Woodrow Wilson said, I am sorry for the men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and of the pleasure. John Bunyan said, I never knew all there was in the Bible until I spent those years in jail. I was constantly finding new treasures. Sir Walter Scott said, the most learned, acute, and diligent student cannot in the longest life obtain an entire knowledge of the Bible. The more deeply he works the mine, the richer and more abundant he finds the ore. And then John Quincy Adams said, so great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens to their country and respectable members of society. Just what some men have said about the Bible. There's no doubt that we hold the Word of God, this Bible, in our hands, that we're holding a book that's unlike any other book in all the world. It's not in some category. It stands in a category all by itself. It makes its own category. And we're going to find that to be true, certainly, as we look at it. When we consider this book that we call the Bible, we realize something as we read it, that it is the only reliable source in all the earth. It is the only reliable source to tell us who God is and what God is like. In fact, a good definition, something that's great to remember, is a little definition of what the Bible truly is to us. The Bible is, basically, the Bible is God's revelation of himself and of his word to man. You say, I want to know God. How do you know God? Read the Bible. You say, I want God to reveal himself to me. God reveals himself to us. He reveals who he is in the word of God. And he reveals his words to man. That means he tells us what he wants us to do with our lives. And that's really what the Bible is in a nutshell. It's God's revelation of himself and of his word to man so that we might know what he would have us to do. The Bible is the only book that answers the great questions of life. Someone said that the three great questions of life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? No other book can answer those questions except for the Bible. In fact, these questions that are deeply planted within the hearts of every man, these questions cannot be adequately answered in any other means other than from the Scriptures. because we find in the Bible the meaning of life and the source of life. And we find about our destiny in life because it tells us about a real heaven and a real hell. When we read about the Bible, we find it's not just a book to be read. It's a book to be read and to be obeyed. So that makes it a lot more than just something academic. It makes it something real. And it makes it something that's a vital part of our lives. If you think about this, if the Bible says, and it does, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means it's breathed from God. Inspiration. Kind of sounds like the word respiration, doesn't it? It means God breathed. All Scripture, that means from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God breathed. It came from God Himself. It is the very Word of God. If that is true, and it is, then that means that this is the one source of authority for all of our faith and for all of our lives. And when we realize that to be true, we realize one thing also. We realize that the devil must hate it with a passion like we could never imagine, right? If this tells us where we came from and why we're here and where we're going, if this tells us who God is and what God's Word is to us, then we can just barely even imagine how with what passion the devil must hate this book and those who teach this book and those who preach this book and those who even read and believe this book. The devil is passionately against God's Word because it is against him. And it's the only way to tell men how they can escape hell and have a home in heaven through Jesus Christ. The devil hates it. In fact, we see our world messed up in so many different ways, a world that's falling away from God, and we wonder sometimes, how did our world get so wicked? Well, we know in history that people have tried, in history, they've tried to stamp out this book altogether. There have been times, for instance, in back about 300 AD, 300, the Roman Emperor Diocletian said, let's destroy every Bible and every Christian. And that was his desire. He tried to do it. In fact, he set up a monument and said, we've destroyed all of Christianity, but it wasn't true. Just about 10 or 15 years later, the Emperor Constantine stood up, the same empire, and said, the Roman Empire is now a Christian empire. Now, he used the word Christian a little bit the wrong way, but still the point is the same. You can't destroy God's Word, and you can't destroy God's people until God's ready to take His people out of here. I'll tell you that. So why is the world like it is? It's not because the Bible's been destroyed. It's not because it doesn't exist. It's just because we've neglected it. It's because we've set it aside. It's because so many people have bought them and put them to the side. And maybe they've read them every now and then, but it's not been obeyed. The Word of God is our source of authority. I want us to consider those three testimonies tonight. First of all, let's consider the testimony of the Scripture about itself. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the testimony of Scripture is that it is all God-breathed. That means all of it. Not just portions of it, not just segments of it, not just the parts that we're most familiar with, not just the New Testament or the Old Testament, but all of it is breathed out of the very mouth of God. Look, if you would, please, at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter 1. The Bible gives us probably in this one verse the most clear, vivid description of how this inspiration of God's Word took place. He said in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. No matter what you get out of that verse, you have to get this. These are God's words, and these men were used of God to pen His words, and the Holy Spirit of God directed every part of this. It was inspired of God. It was inspired of God. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. Notice a unique verse here. I'll have you circle one word in the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. As Paul's writing here, he says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Circle that word in verse 13. Circle the word words. Because we learn something very important in this verse. Paul said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. That means that not only is all the Scripture the Word of God, but the Bible also claims that every word of it is the Word of God. So it's not just trustworthy as a whole, it's trustworthy in all its parts, because it all came from God, every word even. In fact, in Psalm 119, verse 89, you'll have to turn there, but the Bible says, forever, O Lord, word is settled in heaven. Before God ever gave one part of His word or one word of His word to man to pin down, it was all settled in heaven before all that. From the foundation of the world, God had it. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, we find one other verse that I'll mention. The Bible says, "The voice said, cry, and He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." See, the Bible's testimony concerning itself is very clear. The Bible claims to be indeed the word of our God, the word of God. In fact, it even says it'll never change. It'll stand forever. And we know that the only way to escape eternal condemnation, Jesus said in John 5:24, was to hear and believe the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. That's the message that we have to give people. Hear and believe and receive the word of God that we might have eternal life when we read in God's word, of course, what it says about his son. Now, let's look secondly also at the testimony of Christ. Now, if we're going to make a case for why the Bible is the word of God, we take the testimony of the Bible. But I don't think there's any witness that we could pull on the stand that's a greater, truer witness than the testimony of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, right? Look with me, if you would, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 real quick. Matthew chapter 12. And I want you to notice real quick, I think this is so interesting that we highlight in the lesson this week. You know, most of the people that stand up and want to mock the Word of God and mock the Bible and say, it's not the Bible, and or maybe they say just parts of it are the Word of God, parts of it are true and parts of it are not true. Oh, don't believe those historical parts, or don't believe those Old Testament things. Those are just allegorical type things. All those things aren't necessarily true. When people get up and start talking like that, they're not considering the most important testimony in all the universe, and that's the testimony of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 12:38. In fact, you'll notice here that some of the things that are criticized and some of the things that skeptics gnaw at the most as far as the verity of Scripture, Jesus Christ himself, we have the recorded words of Christ in the Bible, that he verified those things to be true. He always accounted the Word of God, the Bible, to be true and to be indeed the very Word of God. Look at Matthew 12:38. "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." One of the things that people criticize the most is, what about that Old Testament account of Jonah in the whale? I mean, who could live inside of a whale? Give me a break. I mean, that can't be true. That can't be right. Hey, I know it's right because Jesus Christ said it was right. Amen. Jesus' attitude toward the Scripture was always that it was the Word of God and it was true. Amen. Even in the account here, he talks about Jonah and the whale. Look at Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, one of the things that's criticized so often is even the creation account. People have some other theory of how this world came to existence. And it's just all theory. It's not truth. But the Bible gives us the truth. Look at Matthew 19, verse 3. "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So what's Jesus meaning? Jesus is saying in his words here, haven't you read what the Bible says about how we all came into existence? Haven't you read the Bible says God made them male and female? That's exactly what the truth is. God's word is true. Jesus verified the account of creation. You can look at Matthew 24. Jesus talks about Noah and the ark. You say, all those animals on an ark and the whole a flood that covered the world and God just spared 8 people and all the animals? That can't be true. Yes, it is. Jesus said it was true. Jesus verified it. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus spoke to those disciples. And you can look at the verse when you get the lesson. In Luke 24, he told those disciples that they should be quick to believe all that the prophets have written. He even verified that everything that those prophets wrote in the latter part of the Old Testament, they should believe every single thing they've written. Why? Because Jesus knew it was the Word of God. See, it's a serious thing for somebody to get up and attack the Bible and say it's not all the Word of God. You know why? Because they're pitting themselves against the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't want to put myself there, do you? No one should presume himself to know more than the very Son of God. No one should. And as we hear the testimony of Christ, we realize how important it is that we stand true and strong on this matter of the Bible being the Word of God, because we're standing with the Lord Jesus, and we're standing with His testimony. Then we consider, lastly, not only the testimony of the Bible about itself and testimony of Christ, but what about the testimony of those who have trusted the Lord? What do they say about the Bible? What do you say about the Bible, huh, if you've trusted the Lord? Paul said back in our text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, as he wrote to young Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I can hear Paul right now. Paul said, "I was on a road to Damascus one day, and I met Jesus Christ, and I believed His word, and I was born again, and I'm a child of God." And Paul testified, "Hey, it made me wise unto salvation." That's what it did for me. It's true. Timothy could give the same testimony. "I was a teenager, and Paul came through, and I saw the things that were done to him, and saw him stoned, and all those things that took place. And somewhere along the line there, I was led to Christ. I believed the Word of God, and it was good in my own life. I know that Christ has saved me." And you know what? Everybody who's ever taken God at His Word has found that God's Word is true. You take God at His Word, and you'll find that God's Word is true. "For whosoever," the Bible says, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everyone who's saved can give a testimony that believing the Word of God has changed their life. I don't know of many drunks who picked up a good math book and read it and it changed their life. Do you? I don't know of many people out in sin who picked up a great science book and they read it cover to cover and they said, "This book has changed my life," and it just pulled them out of sin. I don't know of anybody like that, do you? But I know a lot of sinners like myself and like you guys who could say, "God has changed my life because I read and believed and obeyed the words of this book." And this is the power of this particular book. It's the Bible. And I think we'll see very clearly that it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You for these truths. And as we look in the Scriptures this week in Sunday school, Lord, I pray that they would really be driven home into each of our hearts. And Lord, help us to be an encouragement and blessing to the others in our church. Thank You for these workers, and I pray You continue to bless them and use them, help them to grow in the Lord. Even as they teach, may they grow in Christ and have a greater knowledge of the Word of God and of You, Lord. Lord, meet with us in a special way and give us exactly what we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.